There's a cemetery in our nation's capital that has had no recorded burial since the 1950s.
Soon I will be done.
This burying ground has certainly known its share of secrets. Among them is a little-known treasure.
Soon I will be done.
An empty, time-worn vault. This vault was one of the stations along the legendary Underground Railroad.
However, when William Still would ask runaways why they had chosen to flee, the answer most commonly uttered was the auction block.
No more auction block for me. $20,000.
Sold! $1,000. Now step up here and get a closer look at this strong young buck. Come ahead, step up so you can see just how healthy this one is.
The auction block became one of the most dreaded moments in a slave's life.
No more.
Just look at that strong back, and it's got no scars. And why is that? Because this boy's not just strong, he's obedient. Never been whipped, and it's gonna cost you.
No more.
And it was there that they were pinned up together, sometimes for days on end like animals, with no regard to sex or age.
Yes, come on up. Check those teeth. Just feel those strong arms.
And it was there that families were torn apart, brother separated from sister, husband from wife, mother from child, and most of them would never see each other again.
No more, no more, no more. No more auction block for me.
There was a mother whose name was Eliza. She had just lost her youngest child, Randall, on the auction block. Eliza was determined that her 7-year-old daughter Emily would not be torn from her too. After a Louisiana gentleman purchased Eliza for $700, she broke from her place in the line and, rushing to where her daughter Emily was standing, caught the young girl up in her arms and proceeded to beg that they not be separated.
Oh, please, sir, won't you buy us both together? Don't let both my children be taken away. Emily's all I got left in this world. Oh, please, sir, let me have at least one of my children.
The auctioneer struck her and ordered that she be quiet. He then caught her by the...
They just took my boy Randall from me and I'll never see him again. Oh, God, it's too cruel to take my Emily from me, too. We all each other has...
He struck her and demanded that she be silent. As the two clung desperately to each other with all their might, the auctioneer, applying all his force, tore Emily from Eliza and handed her over to be carried away.
No more, no more, no more!
The din of the marketplace, her little voice growing more and more faint until it gradually died away. Eliza never saw her children again. Day-to-day life left little hope for happiness in this world. Hope for better days was something we reserved for thoughts of the afterlife.
Sooner will be done.
Or for thoughts of escaping slavery.
Sooner will be done.
Daily life meant sleeping on the bare ground, our own beds made of bulge and rags. But daily life also taught us how to make the sun shine even when it was storming. It meant finding simple things to take pleasure in, like kicking back the... But most important, daily life meant singing. Singing to God for help and strength as we awaited our deliverance.
I'm going to tell you about the coming of the judgment.
Emmanuel.
I'm going to tell you about the coming of the judgment.
Emmanuel.
There's a better day a-coming.
meant losing the things we cared about most. And when we had nothing else to lose, we had nothing to fear. Making those first steps toward freedom that much easier.
Conducted, even religious meetings, had to be performed in secret places. Hush harbors, we called them, where we was out of earshot of the slave masters.
We'd know when there was going to be a hush harbor meeting, because we had a secret signal we would use to announce it. Someone would begin by humming the first phrase of the song, Steal Away to Jesus. And one by one, others would pick it up and pass it along until every field on the plantation was humming with the sweet anticipation of that evening's hush harbor meeting. And the slave master would be none the wiser.
Right, brothers and sisters, the Lord calls us. He calls us by the thunder. He calls us by the lightning. And praise God, we ain't got long to stay here.
All right.
But until that blessed day of Jubilee, upon
from the mountain, my Lord spoke. Out his mouth came fire and smoke. Down in the valley, on my knee. According to legend, Peg Leg Joe was a free black carpenter who spent his winters in the South, moving from plantation to plantation. At each location, he secretly taught slaves about an escape route by teaching them a song he called Follow the Drinking Gourd. It was a song so rich in coded language that, to a slave owner, the lyrics must have sounded like nonsensical gibberish. But to slaves on the run, the coded message became their lifeline to freedom. Signals warned runaways that slave catchers were in the area. When these signals went up, the runaways had learned what to do from another code song. If bloodhounds were on their trail, fugitive slaves knew to wade in a creek or a river, stirring up or troubling the water, and hopefully throwing off the scent. Troubling the waters was a good thing. Slaves knew that in the Bible, when the waters were troubled, the healing would begin.
Trouble the water,
the leader.
most ambitious escapes ever attempted occurred at the District of Columbia Wharf in the southwest quadrant of Washington, D.C. 77 slaves led by 3 white crewmen boarded the Pearl, a 54-ton Baycraft schooner that would carry them to their promised land. These were slaves from elite homes in the Washington, D.C.
The hopeful fugitives, feeling that their freedom was close at hand, began to pray.
Lord, you sent Daniel, your angel, and shut the lion's mouth. We've been in the lion's den, Lord. We spent a lifetime in the lion's den, and we've been faithful, Lord, just like Daniel.
They were approaching Point Lookout at the mouth of the Potomac. They encountered a northwesterly squall. The captain, fearing that his small craft was no match for the storm's intensity, dropped anchor in a nearby
place where they were free. Sadly, their freedom was not to be. Authorities from Washington, D.C. had a steamboat. The Pearl and all crew and passengers on board were captured. Most of the slaves on board the Pearl were sold to the Deep South after their capture. Being sold to toil in the fields of the Deep South was the worst possible punishment they could have received. For many, it was a fate worse than death.
Thank you.
on the Pearl ends on such an unhappy note. There are many other escape accounts that bring cause for celebration.
One autumn night in 1848, a band of slaves, four brothers and a sister, slipped away from a Maryland plantation and headed north. Partway through the journey, the brothers became tired and frightened. If they turned back now before anyone knew they were gone, they would escape punishment. So the brothers headed back to their cabin quarters on the plantation. But the sister, she had other plans. After watching the retreating forms of her brothers, she turned her face toward the north and, fixing her eyes on the guiding star, committed her way unto the Lord and started again upon her long, lonely journey. Using only the North Star as her guide, she trekked through unknown regions, walking by night, hiding by day. Her name was Harriet Tubman.
I had reasoned this out in my mind. There was one of two things I had a right to, liberty or death. If I could not have one, I would have the other. For no man should...
Harriet Tubman succeeded in leading more slaves to freedom than any other individual. And like the Moses of the Bible, Harriet had her Pharaoh to contend with and an Egypt land to escape. Her story even had a Canaan and Israelites too. Harriet's Pharaoh was the plantation owners. Egypt land was the southern states. And Canaan was Canada or the northern states where slaves could live as free people. The Israelites, of course, were her enslaved brothers and sisters. And Harriet most certainly their black Moses.
Freedom over.